It's our privilege. I should put this real high because Leighton's coming. Well, he's got a mic. You're okay. It's our privilege to have Leighton Watson come to open the Word of God to us today. It's always an honor and privilege to be able to share God's Word. And it comes as an honor, but also a responsibility. And our responsibility, of course, is to listen and to be open to what the Spirit of God says to us today. So let's pray and before Leighton comes. Father, we thank you that you choose to bless, to instruct, to correct, to transform, to renew our lives. We thank you that as we place our faith and trust in you, that you're wanting to do so much in our lives. We thank you for the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do today. We pray, Father, your anointing on our brother as he opens the Word of God to us. We thank you, Father, for his relationship with Tyndall, a Bible college, seminary and university, and for the training that you've given to him and for the desire that he has in terms of discipleship. And so we pray, Father, your blessing on him as he opens the Word of God to us today. For we pray in your name. Amen. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks. All right. Good morning. It's a privilege to be up here, as Pastor Barry clearly pointed out. This morning, as I was sitting there, God gave me a heart of tears, and I was crying a little bit, and the reason was, I'm just very thankful. I'm very thankful for my family. There's a lot of people here who've lost close relatives. But my family's here, support me. My friends, some of them will be watching. They've prayed for me. They've given me words of encouragement. And I've been so blessed. So, for those of you who've lost loved ones and friends and family, you know, I pray the Lord will be with you and give you comfort like he's given me through my family. Even when I was sitting there being nervous, my family, when I saw them come in, that gave me a sense of confidence. So, I want to thank the Lord for that. So, when Pastor Graham said to me, "Would you like to speak?" I'll be honest, at first, I wasn't so sure. You know, the motivation wasn't really there, but I had said to the Lord, "You know, Lord, if you give me an opportunity to speak, I'll take it." So I said, "Lord, I'm going to trust you in this situation." But the fire wasn't really 100% there. And so I was struggling on what to speak about. Generally, when I speak about something that has been part of my life, something that has been formative or transformative in my life. And I wasn't quite sure what to speak on. And it took some time. Please excuse me. You know? So something that has been formative in my life. And for quite some time, I wasn't sure what to speak on. But as you go through daily life and you're meditating upon the Word and the Lord, things start to appear. And so, one of the things that, you know, speaks to me often is business. Any of you who know me, I went to Seneca College first and I did my diploma in business. It was a thing that was ticking over in my mind all the time. And so, whenever I hear a new business idea or someone poses something to me, I'm very interested. You know, I want to see how that idea translates to the church or just the economy or politics. I'm always interested in, and business is always ticking over in my head. So what I'm going to do is outline for you a process that I recently went through and how the Lord began to speak to me through that and share with you as a framework as to discipleship. So before we begin, let's go to Matthew 28:16. Turn it down so I can read it with you. The King James, NIV. Matthew 28:16. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority on earth and in heaven has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So the process that I went through at work, there's a friend of mine, she sits a little bit behind me, and, you know, she decided she wanted to get involved in a particular business. And so I was watching her. I was watching how she conducted herself, what some of the ideas that she was coming up with, and I was thinking. But I wasn't quite sure what it was, but I was intrigued. Her lifestyle was, you know, posed me to have some questions for her. So I went to her and I said, you know, "What is it that you're doing? You know, I like business, so what is it that you're doing?" She said, "Why don't you come with me to a seminar? We're doing a little presentation on what the business is." So I said, "Okay, fine." So I called my girlfriend and I said to her, "Come, we're going to go to a seminar. We're going to hear something about a business presentation." So she graciously came. At the seminar, I was welcomed. People were at the front. They shook my hand, gave a nice firm handshake, and they gave me a little ticket. And the ticket was for a gift, you know, if you win the gift at the end. And then they escorted me to the front. I had a nice, wonderful seat at the front. And then the seminar began, and the presentation began. And they had a speaker, and the speaker was explaining their story, their testimony, and then also explaining where the business is going, how it came in about, some of their products. And I was interested. So I started to think and mull it over. And I went home, thought it through a little bit more, spoke to Keisha about it. And then I called my friend. I said, "You know what? I'm interested. You definitely piqued my interest." Now, later on, I eventually joined the program. Now, when you guys think of that, what does that maybe jog in your mind? For a lot of us, that may be how we enter the church. It's very, very similar. There were some things that were very, very similar. And I think, can you imagine, you're at work as a believer. Someone is sitting there watching you. You're not even paying attention. You don't even know that someone is watching the way you live your life. Your character, your conduct. Somebody's watching and saying, look how James behaves. Look how James thinks. Look how James doesn't do this or doesn't do that, or does do this or does do that. And the lifestyle begins to speak, and someone becomes intrigued as the representative for Christians in that organization. Then you say to them, "Okay, you want to know exactly the transformation in my life? Come to church. We have something going on Sunday. We have something on Monday, something on Wednesday, something on Friday. Come to our church. See what it is that makes me live my life in this way." They come to church. There's a presentation. Pastor Graham will be up here. He may share the gospel, share something from the scriptures. And that person is sitting there. They may have got a warm welcome at the front there from Brother Eric as well, escorted nicely to the seats at the front here, and they get to hear the gospel. Later on, as they go home, the Spirit is continuing to do its work in their lives. They've now heard the gospel. They've had a presentation. They understand. They're beginning to go through that process of transformation. God is beginning to work with them. So how we live our lives publicly, it's going to be very, very important. 1 Peter 2:12, "Live such good lives before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." How we live our lives publicly is going to be a huge part of discipleship. Secondly, when they arrive here, what's going to happen? In Romans 10:14, "How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them?" Romans 10:14. Now, I want to just kind of make a disclaimer here that what we saw happen to me through the business process is not exactly the same as someone who's coming to the Lord. The Spirit is involved in someone coming to the Lord. But there are principles that I saw happening to me that are things that we can use here as we go in our churches. As we live our day-to-day lives, firstly, being intrigued by someone's lifestyle. Secondly, an invitation. Sometimes we get nervous to give an invitation, you know. Someone asks you, why you do this, why don't you do that? And what do we say? Come with me to church. Come with me to prayer meeting. Come with me to do this or come with me to do that. So someone can see why it is that you live your life a certain way. The difference is here that in the business, they gain something that isn't really eternal. It isn't of any eternal significance. But the gospel is of eternal significance. And how much more should we go and share with people the reason that is for our transformation, the reason for why we live the way we do? Oftentimes, this is where people get stuck. People become believers. They've come to the church now, and they're excited. They hear a good word, and now they say, I want to join the program. Like for me, I want to join the business. Or now I want to become a follower of Christ. What do they do? What's the next step here? So the next step is where we're going, is discipleship. Now, as a young man, you know, and deciding to follow the Lord, I had many, many questions. And I think that was part of the reason I ended up at Tyndale. And some of you may have been in this position. You've now decided to follow the Lord. You've decided that He is the only way and you need to know what to do. And you're asking questions. Why doesn't my prayer work? Why am I not seeing any results in my prayer life? Why am I not understanding the scripture? Why does it look like ants on a page? You know, I had my first Bible was a King James Bible, and I would read it. I'm like, we don't even use these words anymore. You know? And I couldn't understand it. I was thinking, man, my prayer is not working. I can't understand the scripture. I go to church, and there's a gap. Something is missing. As I look back, one of the most important things was to have a teacher. Someone to teach me how to pray. Someone to teach me how to read the scripture. We see that example in Jesus. The disciples coming to him, teach us how to pray. And he came and he taught them, pray like this, our Father who art in heaven. Taught them how to pray. He lived the life and as an example in front of them and taught them how to pray. He spent time with them, explaining the scripture, teaching them the scripture. How many of you as teachers here, you know, you have a student and, you know, you're teaching your student and they don't seem to be getting it. They come to class every week, every class, and they just don't seem to be getting it. And then someone will say to you, well, you're not teaching well enough. And then what would you say? Well, you know, they're not with me the whole time. How can I make sure that they're successful? They must learn at home. They're spending time away from school. That is where the teaching begins. Now, occasionally you have someone who is very smart, very conscientious, you know, and they will do things on their own. But children, particularly, don't want to go home and do more work. You give them homework, they don't want to go home and do more work. You need someone else, an adult, a parent, someone who will walk alongside them and teach them how to study. Explain to them mathematics. Explain to them grammar and language. Someone else will walk beside them and walk with them. In the same way, when someone becomes a believer, when they've gone through that first process, let's say, and they become a believer, they're just born again, like a baby. They're like a baby again. They don't have all the know-hows of how to pray and how to read and how to understand the text. In the same way, someone needs to be there to teach them. Someone needs to be there to show them how to pray, how to read, how to live. What does silence and solitude mean? What does fasting mean? How do I do these things? You know, when I became a believer, I didn't know any of these things. I said, I know Jesus. I'll just follow Jesus. You know, I'll go to church on Sunday and make sure I'm there. But I didn't realize that there was so much more to this. I needed someone to give me guidance and someone to teach me. The learning begins outside of the classroom. So the second part of the process I went through at this business was, now I'm joined. I'm part of it, okay? They have outlined a process in which now the person who invited me is now what's called my sponsor. Okay? So that person is responsible for me. They must show me personally how, this is a business, this is not a Christian organization. They must show me personally how to use the products or the different things that they have so that I can see the benefits. Are you with me? They're going to teach me those things and show me how to use it so I can see the benefits. Why is that? Why is it that I must now use it, and why must they teach me? The reason is because when you use it and you see the benefits, what happens? Your faith in it increases. You become passionate about it. You can speak about it passionately, and you can speak about it fearlessly, because now you've experienced its benefits. You've experienced how it works upon your life. That's their philosophy. Your sponsor now meets with you regularly to teach you more things. So all the time they'll come to you and they'll explain to you some of the new things that they have, explain to you how it works, but also to teach you about the counterfeits that are out there so that you're able to effectively look and say, this is wrong, this is not the truth, this is a partial truth. They teach you these things so that when you're out there, you are equipped to be able to deal with the many things that will come at you. People come and say, no, your product isn't good, your product has this, your product has that, and you have some knowledge. So now you can go back and effectively pick out the counterfeits. Now, as you begin to learn and grow and understand the product and understand the counterfeits, you begin to sponsor others. And they will walk with you until you're able to teach others on your own. This is an organization that has nothing to do with the church. But they understand that just making someone part of the business doesn't make it successful. They have to now transfer that and give you and equip you for long-term success. In the same way, as believers, just getting in the gate is just the start. You know, you can imagine if you just get in the gate and you have no one to guide you, the world behind you looks very simple. Like, you've been there. You know what that is, that life is like. It's easy. It's easy to turn back. But when somebody walks alongside you and brings you and shows you things, now you start to see the benefits. Now you start to see the increase in faith and increase in passion and be fearlessly declaring that which you have experienced. So let's translate this to the church a little bit here. The person who invites you to church, let's call them your spiritual father or spiritual mother, they teach you the spiritual disciplines of prayer, Bible study, fellowship, communion. And it's not just teaching you about these things. You know, coming on the pulpit and teaching you about the prayer is not the same as praying with you. When they said, teach me how to pray, Jesus says, pray like this. And then he also prayed with them. They saw him pray. There was an engagement there. So that sponsor is going to work with you now so you can see the benefit. This will now increase your faith in God. They have walked with you and shown you how to pray. They have shown you how to fast. They have shown you how to study the word. And now your faith begins to increase. You speak of God passionately and fearlessly. That person will now continue to meet with you regularly and teach you more about scripture. They will teach you more about the spiritual disciplines. So that when counterfeit gods emerge, you are able to effectively refute them. I was at Tyndale University, and you know, you have lots of different ideas come in and out all the time. And, you know, as you go through life, people always try to throw things at you, especially as a Christian. You know, I think we're probably one of the most argued against, you know, in terms of our faith. You guys are too exclusive. What about this? What about this person? What about that person? Look how they live. Well, we need someone to help us and equip us to be able to handle those situations. When counterfeit Counterfeit Christianity comes in. Can we effectively identify it? Someone needs to be able to help us do that. And as you begin to grow in faith and you share the good news and the gospel and your faith with others, they will walk with you until you can teach others on your own. Is everyone with me? Good. Lovely. So let's go back. I'm going to read Matthew 20. I think it's going to be three times I'm going to read this, because I want this to kind of sink in a little bit. All authority in heaven on earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's think about that again. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, Jesus has been doing these things himself, and now he's teaching them to obey, to do. In the same way, they must go and teach them to teach other people to obey and to do. They're not coming up with anything new. So for us, as we follow Christ, we teach others how to follow Christ. And it says at the end, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus will always be there with them to go back. Even when you're discipling someone, you don't have all the answers. You only go as far as you know. And you always have Christ to turn back to and say, Christ, Lord, I'm a little bit short here. I need some help. And he's gracious. And he will share with you. And then you can pass that on to someone else. Oftentimes, this is where we fail. You know, as I'm at Tyndale, there's lots of youth pastors, people who are going to be youth pastors, and they have a huge responsibility. I don't think, some of you may not realize this, but youth pastors have a huge responsibility. Oftentimes they are placed with the burden of making sure that the next generation, you know, replaces the one that's going on. You know, if you don't do a good job, the church is going to dissipate. So youth pastors have a huge responsibility. And even now, as I was going through and preparing for this message, I realized how much our pastors need prayer and support. It's very, very difficult. But as I went to a meeting by an organization called Canadian Youth Network, and they had a quote that really spoke to me. And it said, if you make churches, so if you go out and you try to start a church, it says you rarely get disciples. Are you with me? If you go out there and you start a church, you rarely get disciples. But if you go out there and make disciples, you will always get a church. Are you with me? So if you go and make a church, you rarely get disciples. But if you go and make disciples, you always get a church. You see, we're not called to make churches. We are the church. If you're a believer, you are the church. You are part of the church. We're not called to make the church. We're not even called to grow the church. We're called to make disciples. When you make disciples, that is what God is asking us to do. That is what Christ has asked us to do. Not to make churches, not to grow the church, but to make disciples. So I wanted to think about these things a little bit more practically. What are some of the things that we can do? So using Christ as a model, I wanted to see some of the things that he did to help make disciples. One is living a life that gives glory to God. Living a life that gives glory to God. Your day-to-day conduct, your day-to-day interactions are what allows people to get a glimpse of God. You might be the only Christian, born-again Christian, that someone may ever see. Like my friend, she was the only representative of that company I'd ever seen. I'd never even heard of the company before. In the same way, you might be the only person. So live a life that gives glory to God. If I was seeking, if the Spirit was working in me and I wanted to find someone who had a connection with God, I'll be looking for that person who seems to exhibit the most godly lifestyle. I'll say that person is probably connected to God. Let me find out what that person is doing. So living a life that gives glory to God. Jesus lived a simple and sinless life, and people were drawn to him. He was compassionate. He was loving. The second one is intentionality. Go and make disciples. There's a decision there. There's a choice. That's one of the blessings God has given us, the ability to choose and to make a decision to go. And he says, go and make disciples. If you look around, there are people here of all ages with all different levels of knowledge and experience. And no matter what the age, we are all called to make disciples, and we all can disciple someone else and be discipled. You know, you could be 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. And you're worried, you may be worried, can I disciple someone now? Well, I mean, if you're 60, you want to disciple someone who's 50, you were 20 when they were 10. You know, you can do it. Make yourself available, you know. That's one of the things that I didn't do very well, was that I struggled with a lot of things internally. I wanted to learn how to pray. I wanted to learn what fasting meant, and I would read the Bible and see different examples of it, and, you know, I couldn't really put it together. But I didn't really voice my concern. I didn't go out and say to people, you know, my pastor even, I need help in this. Can someone walk alongside of me? Can someone do this with me? Can someone show me? And I end up learning a lot of things on my own, or trying to. But I need to be intentional, both in terms of allowing ourselves to be discipled, and secondly, to, if you have some knowledge, share, walk alongside someone. And we can start right here in our church. I mean, the world comes here. I mean, we have people from all nations. We can start the discipleship process here in our church. You know, if you don't feel that you've been discipled or you need someone, we have three pastors here who can help and can maybe put you in contact with someone, you know, to help go through the disciple process. I mean, Jesus chose 12. We can start with one. The third one is commitment. Jesus was committed to the disciples. Jesus was committed to disciples. He spent years with them, walked with them, talked with them, shared his life, his experiences, when he was happy, when he was sad, when he was angry, when he was lonely. And he showed them how to walk through all of these different periods of his life. He taught them how to pray. He taught them even how to minister. He said, go out in twos. He taught them everything. So commitment. It's not easy to make a commitment. I mean, nowadays, it may be, it's not popular to make long-term commitments, you know. Loyalty is often to ourselves. But if we're seeking to follow God, we need people, you know. I learned that a lot today, you know, coming up here and speaking, which, you know, at times can be very lonely. The pulpit is a very lonely place. But to have someone, my family with me, walk alongside me, really is very, very important. So commitment. The fourth one is sacrifice. Sacrificing time, resources, humbling ourselves, being patient. On both ends, if I'm being discipled, I need to sacrifice the time. I need to say, how important is this to me to learn? To have someone who is mature in the faith, someone who is not on spiritual milk, share with me how to pray, how to fast, how to read the word, how to study scripture. In the same way, the one who is sharing their experience and their knowledge has to be patient and has to also humble themselves. Discipleship requires sacrifice. So the challenge I say to us today is to go and make disciples. What will this body of believers, this congregation, this part of the church look like 5 years, 10 years? This whole community out here of people, what will it look like? Well, it depends on how effectively we make disciples. How effectively we make people who are seeking after the Lord. How effectively we're training up those coming behind us to serve God. That's essentially what it will look like. And so individually, what are we doing to share the word, to train disciples? You know, at the end of the day, we can't necessarily say to the Lord, you know, we had a program at our church. Individually, we are called to make disciples. And I want to encourage you, because as I was going through this sermon, I was very, very convicted, because I personally don't think I've done a very good job at this. But on Thursday, I got an email from a friend of mine, Jesse James. He works with Youth Unlimited, and occasionally I would go there and help. They redid the bike park for the kids in the area, and he sent me an email, and he said, Layton, he says, you've been coming and helping with the kids so long, I think we need a guy like you to come out more regularly. He's a very direct guy. He says, he basically wants me to come work with them full time. But he said, I think you need to come and spend more time in these children's life. And you need to sacrifice to come and be with them. So that spoke to me. It showed me that God was also working me. As I was preparing the sermon and going through, God was preparing the circumstances around me for me to be able to now do that which I'm speaking about. Go and make disciples. Now I can go and take part. So I'm going to go and help and spend some time and make a sacrifice and make a commitment to working with some of the youth in that area around my school. So I offer the same to you. Let us go and make disciples. Let us make the decision and let the Lord take care of the circumstances that He has with me. As I close, I just want to read it for one last time, and then I'll close in prayer. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Father. Things don't always go the way we plan them, but when you show up, Father, you do amazing things. And Father, I just pray for this congregation, this part of your body, this part of your church, Father. I pray that you will equip them, that you will give them a heart and a passion for your call to discipleship, Father. I pray that it will start here, Father. I pray that it will start here. That we will make disciples within our own congregation. That we will train up strong young men and women for your kingdom in order to go out and continue your great commission, Father. I pray that you would bless each and every one of them. Father, I pray for those who have lost loved ones. It's never an easy thing. I just pray that you will give them comfort. I thank you, Father. And now, in Jesus' name, amen.